Good morning to you, Tom. I'm doing well. Thank you.
You know, this Carol HUD story, the housing of that you have literally been on now in excess of 2 years, Molly?
It's probably more like a year and 8 months, just shy of 2 years.
All right. Now, this past earlier in the week, we saw the solution come to the people of Caro and these two in particular housing developments. My understanding from your article, a total of 185 families involved. Now, tell us what HUD offered them when it comes to moving forward involving this terrible housing they've been in.
So HUD informed them that though there is no immediate timeline established, that they would begin moving people out next month in May with vouchers, essentially Section 8, the old Section 8 vouchers now called Housing Choice Vouchers. They get a special name for the emergency move, but they work like a Section 8 voucher. That most people know that language. You take them to a private home anywhere in the country that operates a voucher program, and they've hired a private contractor to help with moving expenses, relocation expertise, help them decide where they want to go, looking at resources in a community and jobs and trying to move families together and that sort of thing.
What did the families want to happen? Did they want it retired? Did they want new buildings? What did the people want? Because they were upset at this proposal. What did they want? What was it? And see, here's the thing, Molly. I think in the absence of information from HUD, which has been abundant, I mean, it's been an echo, that expectations get built inside that void. When you don't know anything, you start developing your own plan, and apparently it did not dovetail in with the people who live there. So what are they most upset about?
For most people that were angry, the only solution that they were going to find acceptable was that HUD would be moving them out of the inappropriate housing they're living in, the inadequate housing, and building them something new in the city of Caro. I mean, there are some people that you talk to that are not opposed to leaving Caro, say they want to leave Caro, but once they're told they have to, it's a little bit of a different story. And there are many, many others that wanted to stay in Caro. It's all they know. It's their community.
It's their
terrifying.
It's their home.
To leave.
It's their home.
It is their home. I think we can all sympathize with how that would feel if we're told we had to leave. For me, I live in Murfreesboro, and I had to leave in 3 months, and that's that.
Right. And I think the thing is, the subtext that maybe many people don't understand is, even if it's bad, it's still home. But there's also another angle to this, Molly, which you mentioned in your article, is that some are upset that no one's been held accountable for these decisions or lack thereof and the mismanagement that led them to this point.
I certainly think that's salt in the wound, is that this has all transpired and they're being told they have to leave and that their homes are falling into disrepair. And of course, everyone has been, you know, followed along on what happened or what is alleged to have happened with the misspending of funds, of government money. And certainly there's no accounting for the millions of dollars. Senator Mark Kirk did some investigations before he was removed from office in the last election, looking at $20 million allocated over 8 years there. It's hard to say, I'm not saying they didn't do any upkeep and maintenance, but you can look around and see it wasn't significant. And so where did the money go? You know, certainly some of it to operations, pay employees, and so on. But you could do a lot with $20 million over 8 years in any Southern Illinois community when it comes to housing.
Well, there's one thing that you and I, you know, having lived in Murfreesboro, we have an idea that if you give us $20 million, there's a whole lot we can do with that because we're mighty tight with a penny. And I think those folks down there, the perception is $20 million. Something could have been done. So moving forward, this to me, and I actually espouse this as an idea because the number of people who had left that city, that meant there was a lot of housing that was open. Can't we get these people out of it? I mean, when you hear a story about a woman says, I spray cockroach poison around the edge of my children's bed every night before they go to bed, and I put all their clothes in containers. Can I get some more to keep the cockroaches out of them? That you see that kind of thing going on, and they still want something done. So get them out as quickly as possible, someplace safe. But the second order of effect, and people, this is starting to sink in, when you start moving these many people around, the second order effect is the schools.
Well, that's right. And HUD has said they'll continue to look for solutions to to try to partner to build new housing, to increase the supply of affordable housing in Caro. Of course, they've been here a year, so I wouldn't hold my breath that over the next year they're going to pull off a miracle in the economic climate we're in at the state and federal level. And the fear is once people leave, they don't come back, and that's understandable. You settle in a new place, it's hard to pull back up and reverse. And so about half the kids that go to Caro Public Schools, K-12 schools, live in those two housing developments. They've got about 400 and some odd students there, so you're talking about losing roughly 200 students, plus the younger kids that aren't accounted for there. A lot of the kids that live there are below kindergarten age, so you're talking about also losing your incoming population. It would obviously just rip through the heart of the school.
So what's next? I mean, is it simple as this is the solution and this is what you're going to do and then this is how we're going to solve the problem and then we're going to go in and tear these buildings down? Or is there another avenue out of this? I mean, is this the beginning of the end of this story?
Well, it's hard for me to say. I will tell you that I was in Caro yesterday. There are a number of community leaders, citizens, and so forth rising up to try to come up with a plan to do their own private fundraising. They're asking for any help they can get. They said they're not shy to say they are begging for a developer willing to come in, someone willing to donate money, time, resources. So we'll see if they're able to pull that off. I mean, if anything, I think at least HUD brought this to a head. If they're not going to do something, you know, many people think HUD owes them for their own neglect to properly have oversight function there. But if they're just saying we don't have the money, you know, at the very least, they've brought it to a head and energized the forces. You know, either they'll pull it off or they won't, but they're certainly trying.
Are there business people who will see these vouchers as a potential business opportunity and respond with better housing once this relationship with the government is a little better defined? I mean, is that a prospect for this community? Because money going into structures and refurbishing would be great. There'd been a story earlier in the week about, oh, they get a new grocery store, which you think, how bad is it when you know that's front page news?
Sure.
But I mean, what's your thoughts there, Molly?
Well, you know, as well as I do, there are people and landlords who have a business model running around, revolving around these Section 8 housing choice vouchers. So there are communities that where people have a business doing that, renting to people who have government-assisted rent. There's a business model there. As for whether it's in Caro, I don't know. Many of the housing authorities in our area, the local housing authorities, don't run the voucher program. And I can't tell you which ones do and which ones don't, but most operate just the structural public housing, the traditional public housing
you
think of. The voucher programs are a little bit different, and it's mostly in bigger cities. So Caro has that option, and again, that'll be seen whether they can get that going with some private developers.
Yeah, well, that's one of the options, because to me that seems achievable. But then again, dealing with the government, official, and bureaucracy is something that a lot of people go to great extents to avoid. So
that's true. Yeah.
You know, if somebody's going to have to see this as the opportunity, maybe have some background experience with them previously and know how the ins and outs. But, you know, I guess this is a story moving forward, and I guess maybe this is an illustration is you can't make everybody happy.
And that's true, and it's a very sad story, no matter what. I mean, to me, that the priority, number one, has to be the health and safety of children living in housing that, according to residents themselves and HUD's review, are unsafe and unsanitary and unfit for anyone, and particularly young children who are more susceptible to illness from mold and infestation and those sorts of things. So I don't know how you prioritize anything else above that, but I hope that the conversation maybe rattles somebody's cage, tugs at someone's heartstrings that once sees an investment opportunity and wants to take the risk to do something down there.
Molly Parker, Southern Illinois author, Southern Illinois writer, reporter, 731. In this case, I think we're going to call you investigative reporter, News Radio WJPF. By the way, thanks, Molly.